Good morning, Mayflower. Welcome to the high hour of worship. And fortunately, we're a day ahead of the snow. Snow and cold weather is in store for us, but today's a beautiful day, as it always is, on the Lord's Day and every day. So, let us begin our worship. A reminder for anyone that might be here as a new person or a person that's not here every Sunday, we use the bulletins here. Some churches think bulletins are old-fashioned. We don't think that, okay? That means that you can find every hymn. You might want to do that in advance. And a very important thing, also the scriptures are written in there, the page number, the pew Bible, if you want to look that ahead of time. Those scriptures are always important. And today there's something a little different, and that is the reception of four new members. And there is a section in your bulletin you need to be aware of, reception of new members, because the ritual involves the congregation. You will be asked a membership vow, as will those that are standing up here today. So if you don't have your bulletin, we'll just assume you're going to make the vow, but we'd like you to say the vow, okay? Have you ever been to a wedding where somebody had trouble getting through the vows? I've done weddings that way. One time it took 10 minutes to get through the vows. That was quite an experience, but we should have no problem with this today. The one announcement that I'd like to make is we would like all of you to be invited to our chili supper today, a chili lunch, I guess you'd call it, in the back. This coincides with the annual meeting. And the annual meeting is open to everybody. If you want to know a little more about what's going on and how we're doing here at Mayflower and what some of our plans are for this year, join us. And there's chili and there's plenty. And if there's not enough for you, I'll give you mine. And along with that, Jerry Fuller, our lay leader, comes to make an announcement.
Good morning, everyone. And I'll do this one more time. In compliance with our bylaws in the state of Michigan, I hereby call the annual meeting of Mayflower Congregational Church to be today at 12 noon. And as Pastor Mark said, there'll be a chili lunch provided, and we would really like you all to attend if you could. Thank you.
And Deanne has an announcement. Her last name is McCormick.
Good morning, Mayflower. The women of this church have been meeting together for a women's Bible study on Wednesdays at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we've been having a fabulous time until January hit and all the bad weather. We've had ice, and we've had bad weather. And so I'm here to tell you, folks, this Wednesday, it's supposed to be winds of 25 miles an hour and a high of -2. So we will not be meeting this Wednesday. And so put on your calendar February, because we're going to start up with a bang, and we're going to have a great time. 10 o'clock on Wednesdays. However, I do have one more opportunity for the women of this church. There is a conference, a women's retreat, actually, sponsored by the Congregational Churches of Michigan, and it is at Rives Junction, the Youth Haven Ranch. It is this Friday and Saturday. It starts at 5 o'clock Friday night, and it is over at noon on Saturday. So I am attending, and I would like to take some other women with me. It's not too late to sign up, because they said we have plenty of room, we have plenty of food, so just bring as many as you can. So if you are interested in this, it's $50 for the housing and the food, and our speaker is going to be Mary Darling. She is a wonderful speaker. She is a professor at Spring Arbor University. She is a Christian author of several books, and also a Christian speaker, and she will be our special guest. So if you would like to come with us, please see me, and we'll make all the arrangements. We're going to meet here at the church at 3 o'clock on Friday, and we'll have a great time. Okay? Thanks.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, Deanne. And just because we have bulletins and hymnals and pew Bibles doesn't mean you can't enjoy worship. Put a smile on your face. Let's continue in worship.
Worship. We each have many gifts to offer in service to God.
Some will be teachers, others preachers.
Some will be capable leaders, others will be skillful workers.
Some will be those who have visions of all possibilities, others will find ways to make those visions a reality.
Some will develop ministries of peace and justice. Others will seek to change unjust systems. We all have been blessed, gifted by God. Lord, help us to use our blessings and gifts to help and serve others. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's pray together. Leading and guiding God, you have opened the doors for us through gifts and blessings to be of great service. Help us to put our gifts and blessings to good use. We want to bless others, inspire others, and help others. In so doing, we will be serving God. But there are greater gifts, Lord. Help us to desire those gifts. We pray this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. On page 340 in the Old Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's reading, Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 to 3, 5 to 6, and 8 to 10. All the people gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it, facing the square before the water gate, from the early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and women, and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen, lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine, and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
This is always the happiest of days in any church, and we welcome new members into our church and fellowship. So I'm going to ask our four new members, Arlene and Ruth and Martha and Lawrence, to come forward this time. Lawrence, you're the best man. You can stand right here. Oh, there you go. I'll tell you what, I'm going to put everybody over here all together. And here comes Arlene. All right, Candy, you just stand there with her and then face the congregation. The choir got a little chance to see her, right? Now, folks, what we're doing today is just the official part of what has happened for quite some time, and that is these four people have been a part of our congregation. And so just because they haven't yet been members has not excluded them in any significant way. But they have made this official that they want to be a part officially of our congregation. And it is our responsibility as members of Mayflower Church and friends to welcome them with open hearts and open arms. So, if you'll turn to that place in your bulletin, it says reception of new members. And by the way, let me name them here. It's Arlene Moore, Lawrence Kimball, Martha Woodward, and Ruth Pash. Okay, just so you know. So, are you folks ready? Okay, just checking. Seeking membership in this church, do you now pledge yourself to accept the religion of love and service which Jesus taught and lived? To love God, to love your neighbor as yourself, to strive to seek and do God's will, and to make the Spirit of Christ dominant in your life and in your relationship to God and all people. And if you so will, say, I do.
I do.
All right. They've got an A so far. Having confessed your Christian faith, and by the way, I need to mention at this point that all four of these are coming in by transfer, okay? But having confessed your Christian faith, do you now enter into covenant with Mayflower Church, accepting a share in its privileges and duties? Do you promise to promote, insofar as you are able, its harmony, faithfulness, and godliness, pledging to this membership your fellowship in Christian love, and engaging in all sincerity to aid its endeavors with hearty and prayerful earnestness? Those will respond by saying, I do. There we go. Now, folks, this is on us, which includes me and the choir, okay? So the congregation responds, and we'll ask everyone to stand as an indication of our support and our promise. All right, let's share together. We then, joining and rejoicing with you in these professions, do joyfully receive you into its membership and communion. And we pledge to you such fidelity in Christian love as you have promised us. This we do with humble prayer to God Almighty and before our Lord and Redeemer, Jesus the Christ, that both you and we may be true to this covenant forever. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this day when we gather to worship. We thank you for the extra excitement it brings to our congregation and to all of our hearts to have others join with this in the endeavor of love and grace, and it's in service to God through Christ here at Mayflower Church. So, Lord, today we pray your richest blessings on our continued covenant together, people, our God, through Christ, whom we serve. May we do it with diligence. May we do it with care and love and support for each other, and especially today, our new members. So, Lord, now bring your blessing upon this very special moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And we'll say the Mayflower Covenant. For those of you who are not familiar with it, there may be a few that know this by heart. So we're going to repeat the Mayflower Covenant. We are banded together as a Christian church to maintain the worship of God, to proclaim the gospel of Christ, to develop a sense of our relationship and duty to God and our fellow persons, and to be an inspiration for love, truth, and passion for righteousness and enthusiasm for service. To this end, we pledge our loyalty to Christ and covenant with each other to strive to express Christ's spirit in our individual and corporate lives, to live together as Christians, and to submit ourselves to the government of this church, working, giving, praying for its increase, its purity, its peace, and seeking in every way to make it a power for the building up the kingdom of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Now I'd like to personally welcome all of the new members. Arlene, let me shake
Thank
your
you.
Hand. Congratulations. Lawrence, congratulations. Welcome. Martha, same thing to you. Congratulations and welcome. And Ruth, congratulations and welcome. Now our head deacon, Deacon Eugene Potts comes to offer each one of them the same thing, a word of encouragement, a handshake, and a membership certificate.
Yes.
Thank you, Eugene. And I think we can give these four members a round of applause. They are a new voting block in our congregation, okay? All right, you may return to your seats, but afterwards in the social hall, there'll be a little bit of time for you to greet them individually. Please take the time to do so.
On page 133 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's second reading, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31a. Now, you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. Those who have ears to hear, let them hear.
After we take in new members today, there might be some people sitting out there and thinking, "What is it? I wonder what it entails to be a member of the Mayflower Church." In other words, do we hand you a pledge card at the same time we hand you a membership certificate? And the answer is no. At Mayflower and in much of the congregational way, we believe that giving is as the Lord blesses and as the Lord motivates. And we here at Mayflower, as you'll find out today, have been greatly blessed and continue to be blessed by the faithfulness of God's people and the giving of their tithes and offerings, and we'll ask the ushers to come forward. Sue Jen, I don't know if you know that, but that's my favorite hymn. And it was done in a way that was my favorite rendition of it. The doxology is number 563 in your hymnal. Please be seated. Once again, during the pastoral prayer, there'll be two things. Number one, we'll pause for anyone or all of you to say out loud a first name of someone that is on your heart or mind or you would like to remember in prayer. And then it will be followed by the Lord's Prayer, prayed together using the words debt and debtors. Let us pray. Gracious God and loving Lord, we always have much to be thankful for and much to pray for. And Lord, the needs are so many, it would be difficult to mention the needs of this world, but there are those who suffer greatly because of natural or man-made catastrophes such as the dam collapse in Brazil and in many areas around the world where there are rescuers and others who are rushing in to help, people that have come to offer medical services in many, many places around the world, and many of them representing the name of Christ. And so we pray that you would bring alleviation and help as we do our part, not only in prayer, but in action. Now, Lord, we have answered prayer this week for our country. There are those, including one or two in this congregation, who may go back to work because of an agreement, however temporary. But Lord, we pray that you would continue to bring peace and harmony and compromise, that we may sustain and help those that have committed to work for us. Lord, we thank you that you bring to our minds the thoughts of those who need our prayers. And we thank you for those that carefully catalog and list for us names like Nancy and Keith and the Congregation Craig Memorial in Paradise, California, and Carol, Marv, Dick, Kathy, Linda, Jean, many, many others, some of whom are here today, and others whom we named just now.
Eddie,
Dennis,
Karen,
Beth.
Lord, there are so many that need our prayers. We're thankful that as we speak, the names that you hear, and you know each person for whom we pray. So Lord, make us agents and instruments of love and help and service, even as we pray. Thank you for teaching us how to pray, which we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On page 47 of the New Testament of the Pew Bible, you will find today's gospel reading, Luke 4, verses 14 to 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing."
Let's pray. Lord, it is your Spirit that helps us when we speak, when we listen, and it is also your Spirit that has given gifts to everyone here this morning. We pray that you would help us listen to that Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. As you, many of you know by now, my mother is a faithful follower on the Facebook videos of our services here at the Mayflower Congregational Church. And since I talk to her on a regular basis, I have to admit that I'm very curious about what she likes about our services. She often comments about the music and the identity of various soloists, including the beautiful new solo voice we heard last Sunday. And she always asks about the tall guy who has a beautiful voice and looks like Jesus. Oh, I feel like singing and dancing again, folks. Now, when it comes to the sermon, I don't ask, but she often volunteers by saying something like, "I really liked your sermon last Sunday." Now, my mom has not lost her memory. She has been blessed with the retention of her faculties well into her advancing age. And she is a person who has read and studied the Bible most of her life. Picked it up one time, and she had every single page in the Bible marked up. I think she's read it 8 times through. And she asked a follow-up question. I ask a follow-up question. What is it that you liked about the sermon? That's a dangerous question. She often responds with something like this: "I'll have to think about that because I just can't remember." And I'm thinking, I wonder why that is. But here's the scary part. Most of us don't remember any sermon in much detail, much past about 10 minutes following the delivery of it, even if you really liked it. That's just the hard truth of it. Except for maybe a few that stand out in your mind, like the congregational minister years ago who spoke and he said, "Sinners in the hands of an angry God." You know who that was? Anybody? I'm surprised. I've got a little teaching to do, folks. He was a congregational minister by the name of Jonathan Edwards. You've heard of him. Well, that thought can be a little discouraging for a minister. And I've heard from many of you what seems to be a fear, not only in this congregation, but in many congregations, is the fear is this, that your pastor and minister would become discouraged. Well, discouragements are what cause many a minister to burn out and sometimes quit. Now, make no mistake about it, I am no different from you. I have my discouragements. We all get discouraged. Anybody here that's never been discouraged? I'm glad to know that, unless you are dishonest with yourself. But we've been talking about gifts this month, and one of my gifts is the ability to remain an eternal optimist, sometimes to a fault. But to alleviate the idea that sermons are easily forgotten and thereby entertaining a discouraging thought for me, I'd like to review today briefly my sermons this past month, which you don't remember. This would also be for those who have not been here for a little while or all month. Good to see you, Terry. I just couldn't resist that. You knew it was coming, didn't you? Yeah. And there are others in Terry's category too, but I'm picking on Terry a little bit. Well, even though I haven't emphasized it, I've been preaching a series this month that has not really been mentioned over again, but I mentioned on the first Sunday, and that is Christmas gifts which last forever. Do you have any Christmas gifts that you can readily think of that you have been using every day since this last Christmas when it was given to you? My thought would be most of us would have to think a little bit about that. Well, 3 weeks ago on Epiphany Sunday, we talked about the gift of divine revelation. As stargazers, the wise sages from the east saw a particularly bright star, followed it, which then took them on an arduous journey lasting 2 years, perhaps, and it led them to what we believe is the greatest revelation of God to humankind, and that is the gift of God's self in human form, Jesus the Christ. Jesus then gave of himself to all with whom he had contact, and of course to his disciples. And just prior to what became the most discouraging event in the lives of the disciples, the death of Jesus, he shared with them an intimate meal of bread and wine and asked them to remember. And they did remember. It transcended their momentary despair and discouragement and helped them to see beyond death, which is usually, correct me if I'm wrong, the greatest discouragement of all. We then shared that meal following the message that day, and in the deep mystery of sacrament, we too are reminded that death is not the end of our journey. Now, 2 weeks ago, we pondered the baptism of Jesus, so we had the two sacraments 2 weeks in a row. We raised a few questions, one of which was, why did Jesus need to be baptized? In the mystery of yet another sacrament, we discovered that God has given to us the gift of identity. Because of God's unmerited favor that we call grace, he has included us in this symbolic washing clean by the water of life, given to us freely and without cost, which binds us together in the body of Christ, the language that Paul used in the scriptures today, known as the church. We are the body of Christ. We were given the opportunity to remember, think about, or ponder our own journey of faith, which may have included baptism as an infant, or at a time in our lives when we may not have fully comprehended what it meant, or perhaps the possibility of future baptism, or just to remember important spiritual milestones in our lives. And we gave the opportunity to come forward to the baptismal font, put their hands in the water, and remember. And last week, the one you forgot, I can't help it, folks, we mused about the miraculously given of miraculous gift, I'll get it out, of the celebration when Jesus changed water into wine. And it was not ordinary wine, it was good wine. I use the phrase two-buck chuck, and not everybody got that. But it wasn't two-buck chuck. And it led to an extraordinary celebration and an amazing introduction at the beginning of John's gospel as to who Jesus was. A man obviously sent from God who not only identifies with us, but joins us in the journey of life, including the joy of relationships that we treasure. And if you want to know part of the reason I am not easily discouraged here at Little Mayflower Church, it is the relationships that I enjoy with you. They have so greatly enriched my life, and might I say our lives, including Deanne in this. They continue to grow and expand, which is part of the reason today is a day of celebration when we include officially four more people into the very body of Christ here at Mayflower. And then our gathering after the worship over a meal of chili. And I love chili. We will then celebrate all that God has done for us here at Mayflower. Stick around. Some of you will, what you hear today may amaze you. You would expect that perspective from me, would you not? The eternal optimist. But believe it or not, I can be a realist for just a few moments anyway. We have some monumental challenges here at Mayflower, and I wouldn't want our new members to think any different than the fact that we have our challenges. So you will hear not only about our accomplishments today in the back in our annual meeting, and they are wonderful, but you will hear some things about our challenges. Mayflower Church will not be and has not been for everyone. For the life of this church, as it has for any church, people have come and gone. Some have moved away, some have disagreed, some left years ago when there were contentious issues that were not easily resolved. Thank God that those days are behind us. Since I have been here, there have been visitors to our church looking for a church for whatever reason, have not returned. As we read the list of gifts of the Spirit as given and as read today in 1 Corinthians 12, we are all amazed at God-given talents and abilities. There are several spiritual gifts mentioned, including that of apostles, prophets, those with gifts of power, those with gifts of healing, those who have the gift of assistance, various forms of leadership, and some with the gift of tongues. And this is not a comprehensive list. Earlier in the chapter, Paul includes gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, miracles, prophecy, and discernment. In Romans, Paul includes the gift of exhortation. And in the tradition I grew up in, people were given exhorter's licenses. Can you believe that? Based on that scripture. The gift of generosity, and quite simply, the gift of compassion that most, if not all of you, have. With a few exceptions. I'm just kidding. Have to keep you listening, folks. We embrace many of those gifts. Now, some gifts are difficult to understand, like the gift of tongues, which often divides a congregation rather than unites. So wisely, we avoid some gifts. And finally, earlier in the chapter which we read today, there are also services and activities, all which emanate from the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that is the Spirit of Christ, as we learn in the Scriptures. Today, we welcome four new members into our family with some incredible gifts, new gifts to our congregation. And if you'll indulge me, without trying to embarrass anyone and these four people, among other gifts, we have the gift of perseverance and cheerfulness in the face of incredible difficulty, blindness. We have the wonderful gift of humor of one who always has a smile on his face and shares his laughter and humor with all of us, and who is ready to help others instantly with a call on his phone, which would take him down the street to help somebody. We have a gifted business person with gifts of leadership and organization, which will probably unfold before us in the coming days. And we have a person with some of the most amazing people gifts of anybody I've ever met, Martha. And they are joining with a group of people who I brag about all the time, talented and gifted beyond measure. So why wouldn't everyone want to join us? These people certainly understand the challenges we face. Some have asked questions about why we don't have a more comprehensive program at Mayflower. We have challenges. Wouldn't it be nice, like some of the larger churches in our community, and I mean this with all sincerity, to be able to hire people with spiritual gifts so we wouldn't have to rely on volunteers? Wouldn't that be nice? I sense a little hesitation, and I might know why, but nonetheless, I think we could understand why that might be nice. Wouldn't it be nice if we were able to attract young professionals making really good money to be able to give so much we wouldn't have to have rummage sales? work days, for goodness sakes? Or who might volunteer in their own ways so we could give it up? After all, we've paid our dues, haven't we? And the answer for most of us is, of course we have. Wouldn't it be nice if we were located in Okemos or Grand Ledge, where young families are moving in and we could begin a youth group, and where we could immediately put our gifted and talented educators to good use into Sunday school for children and our grandchildren, and a Bible study on Sunday morning for all adults? Wouldn't it be nice to be in a neighborhood where the average age was 30 instead of 60? Wouldn't it be nice if we had more baptisms than funerals? In some way, shape, or form, these are concerns for all of us. And we all feel some of these things, whether we say them or not. So why wouldn't I or we be discouraged with some of those challenges? I'm sure that Ezra and Nehemiah felt discouragement in the aftermath of the exile to Babylon, and now they're returned to find their temple in ruins, as well as most of their relationships gone because they were forcefully severed through separation. In the very opening verses of Nehemiah, when he observed the devastation and the survivors there who had escaped captivity were in great trouble and shame as the wall of Jerusalem was broken down and the gates destroyed by fire, some of you have heard this in song, he sat down and wept and moaned for days. But then he fasted and prayed and then went to work of rebuilding. And instead of despair, they found inspiration in the reading of the law. It says when the law was read, they wept because they hadn't heard it for such a long time. I'm a pilot and I go to YouTube sometimes to see pilot videos. And the one I enjoyed the most was a pilot coming into a very remote little village in a jungle of Bhutan. And the people were receiving the very first time New Testaments that were in their own language. And when that plane taxied up, the people surrounded the plane, and there was so much joy, it was unbelievable. At the beginning of Jesus' ministry, as recorded in Luke and read today, people who heard him were amazed and very impressed. But before the reading was over, and we'll get this at another time, they chased him out of his hometown and tried to kill him by hurling him off the cliff from which he stood. He escaped. But then the hard work began. What was that hard work for Jesus when he was rejected because of that little town that he came from that people thought nothing good could come from? We can be a little envious of larger churches with resources that are seemingly better positioned than we are to be successful. We may think our style of worship might not be too attractive to a younger generation, and there might be an element of truth to that, a strong element of truth to that. And I am very sympathetic toward people that feel they need to go somewhere else for different reasons. In this modern day world, there have been attempts, some very successful attempts, at emulating the style and culture and music of our society. And I'm neutral on some of this stuff, but I just read a list in a book this week about church growth. Lattes in the narthex, bands, guitars, and drums, songs played on the screens, preachers in jeans and a sports shirt, and the list goes on. And folks, that's the norm today. That's not us. Some of you have been to those churches. I know several of you have. Nothing wrong, even from our perspective, with any of that. But the truth is that in the latest research polls, millennials, nuns and duns are leaving church wherever and whatever type of a church that is. 7,000 churches closed last year. People are leaving in droves. Membership is on a free fall downward. I've mentioned this before. Leaving big churches and leaving little churches. And I don't believe it is primarily a question of style, although that's important. It is a question sometimes of authenticity, or where there are divisions or judgmental attitudes or lack of inclusion. I would guess and say that most of our adult children, for those of us here today, don't attend church. Mine don't, even though one of them is studying religion at Duke Divinity School. The clue lies in the very last verse of the reading from 1 Corinthians 12. The key is something that does not occur naturally, even within the body of Christ, as Paul tells his readers to strive
for the greater gifts. And if you know what the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is about, it's often read at weddings. It's the love chapter. As I thought about this day, yesterday, even talking with my wife, I felt immediately guilty. And I'll tell you why. Because that's an ideal of love that I have never been able to fully meet. And I doubt if anybody here has either. And that's why Paul says, strive for the greater gifts, the gifts of grace, the gift of love, the gift of compassion. He says, I will show you a more excellent way, because if we have not love, no matter what our gifts, we have nothing. Our success as a church depends on nothing more and nothing less. We don't know what the future of this church shall be, but whatever happens, let us strive for, learn of, demonstrate, and exercise love with Christ as our example, which is the greatest gift of all to the glory of God. In Nehemiah, we read, when the scriptures were read, and then the word went out, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not in our circumstances. It's not in what we have or don't have in the church. The joy of the Lord is our strength. May it be now and forevermore, here and everywhere. Amen. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
May the road rise to
Right hand of fellowship, folks, it's your turn. Didn't get my thing prepared there, and I'm okay.